Life Audio.
I will say this, the first kid in our program, the first kid that I ever met, Lamarius, who lived in that local rundown motel for 7-8 years of his life, this summer he graduated MTSU and became a first generation college student.
Wow. First generation college student.
So
how cool is that? So you got to ride with him. He was one of your first students?
He was the first.
Almost 9 years ago, or 8 years ago. Yep.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Welcome back, Life After Addiction. This is episode 122.
122, baby.
It is a beautiful day. The sun is shining and the mics are falling off and we don't care.
Let's go.
Man, we have a really good episode today.
Yes, we do.
I'm excited. Things are falling apart. Technical difficulties. That makes me think we got
to
press through.
Yeah, things have been happening prior to pressing record and playing this episode. So we know it's going to be a good one. Man, I had a good weekend. I ended up moving to Murfreesboro this weekend, which is pretty exciting. Man, I'm excited. Bought my first house since I've been in Tennessee. It's been almost 6 years. I get married next month, so that's super exciting. Got a lot going on the horizon.
This is your year, isn't it?
We're going to find out, man.
This is your year.
Yeah.
I'm so proud for you, man. Yeah. Getting your first property, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I remember, man, I was well into my 30s when that happened. My wife and I, we moved into apartments for the longest time. And then we, when we moved here, we were in apartments. And then after 4 or 5 years, we bought a home. So
wow,
you're on it, man. That's big stuff.
Yeah, I'll be 35 this year. That's crazy to think, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting old. Wait till you get my age.
I thought you were in your 40s.
No, I'm not as old as you.
You're 35. Yeah. Anyways, we got a great show for you. I don't know why you think that you're younger than me, but we have a great show, man. A man that I met years ago at a we were both honored at a Top 40 Under 40 Award, Entrepreneurs in Rutherford County. We were in a magazine, and we met, and he was running a nonprofit. He started a nonprofit. I'm excited. Let's welcome Joel Bigelow. Joel, welcome, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Joel founded something called Endure Athletics in 2015. He felt the calling of the Lord, and we're going to get into that. Him and his family bought a van and quit his job and got going, huh?
That's right. It's crazy.
Awesome, awesome. Well, hey, tell us, let's just start there. Tell us, so Endure Athletics, tell the people, and there's going to be some, you're going to connect the dots on why we're talking with him today in a show called Life After Addiction. But tell us, man, the calling that you received, why you, tell us the birthing and the genesis of Endure Athletics.
Yeah, for sure. So, like you said, 2015, course it started before that, right? I was in the steel industry, 2008 2009. If you're old enough to know the recession of that period of time, I am. And just kind of opened my eyes to a little bit of what do I want to do in my life, what kind of do I want my children to see me do, and just really looking to connect more to what's going on here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. I'm not from here, but I've been here now for about 21 years. And then through it all, there is a local rundown motel directly in front of where I worked at for 13 years. And I got to see firsthand kids running around this place. There was another nonprofit that did a feeding every Friday night, kind of outside of my bay door that I worked at. And again, seeing kids playing in the parking lot and, you know, working there for 13 years, you know exactly what's going on at this local rundown motel.
Yeah, and I'll say it. I mean, prostitution, drugs in and out, needles in the parking lot.
Yes.
Very clear drug deals happening, fights happening, domestic violence happening. That's the reality of a life of addiction and, you know, and other things. But that's what you're referring to. Kids playing in this environment.
Yeah, and like a lot of them.
Yeah.
And to your point with all that, too, I mean, at one time, this specific motel in town had the highest amount of registered sex offenders in the state of Tennessee.
Goodness that called this gracious. Place home. With kids running
with
around.
Kids.
So, again, so it just kind of opened. I see the burden starting to unfold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, just looking for a change, looking for this, looking for that. And my wife and I just decided it was time to do something about it. And again, I don't say I quit my job. I say I retired.
Yeah. Hey, I like that.
And retired from there. And like you said, we bought a van. And we started out with just a Saturday program. And how can we serve these kids on a Saturday? How can we serve them when they're not in school? How can we just slowly become a part of their lives and to give them a little bit more than what they had? So
yeah,
that's kind of how it all started.
That's awesome. So Endure Athletics, assuming that some of our listeners have never heard of Endure Athletics, but I can assume. Okay, so when you say I started a Saturday program, was it sports? Was it bringing like just organizations to them on Saturdays? What did that look like?
Yeah, so again, when I left Steel Tech to start this, they actually had a softball field and a pavilion in the back. And so that's what we used on Saturday morning. So we did just different sports on a Saturday. We did a homemade breakfast on a Saturday.
Wow.
All of our kids left with meals. And again, we just started with, you know, instead of saying, hey, we're here to mentor you, here we are, right? Kicking a ball around with a kid, playing games with the kids, and just building that relationship.
Wow.
Is kind of, that's what we do through our sport, is build that relationship with them. And through that, we build our after-school programs and where we are today. But I will say this, the first kid in our program, the first kid that I ever met, Lamarius, who lived in that local rundown motel for 7-8 years of his life.
Mm.
This summer, he graduated MTSU.
Wow.
Became a first-generation college student.
Wow. First-generation college student.
First-generation college
God,
student.
Man.
So
how cool is that? So you got to ride with him.
No.
He was one of your first students?
He was the first.
He was the first.
He was the first.
Almost 9 years ago,
yes.
Or 8 years ago.
Yep.
And you got to – were you at the graduation? Oh, my goodness.
Come on now.
That gives me goosebumps.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Dude, I'm going to get emotional. I bet that was an emotional
it's
day.
It's just
– praise God, man.
Oh, it was just a great journey, man.
Yeah.
And love them. We keep in contact. And, you know, as we dive in more to this, you know, we're just a big family, right?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what we are. And the kids that first started with us and are still with us and walking him through college – one of our staff members met with him about each month to make sure he's on his right track as far as school goes. You know, school's difficult, right? And
yeah.
Just to throw him out there with that. So we mentored him, loved on him throughout the whole process. So, yeah, it's a
– Wow.
It's
wow.
God
that's
is incredible,
good.
Man.
Yeah.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
To touch on that, so y'all offer mentorship, correct?
Absolutely.
And so
Christ
what does that look like? How does that help break the cycle of generational poverty? What does the mentorship exactly look like with the men and women y'all serve?
Yeah. So, again, if I, you know, through our after-school program, for instance, right, we pick up all of our kids from school or their motels, and we go out, we do – kids have free time, right, to be able to have free time play. We do Bible scriptures. We do our drug prevention. We do growth mindset activities, social emotional learning. So through that, well, I'll backtrack just a little bit. You know, all of our programs are free, right?
Yeah.
The moms, the grandparents, or whoever's raising our young children right now that are living in these motels are living – paycheck to paycheck, day to day to day. So they can't afford an after school program. They can't afford, they don't even have a car, right, for the transportation. So filling those voids, right, first, right? Wow. Like you got to fill those voids before you can dive into the mentorship and the love and the care. Mm. But I would say through that, through being there for them, being that outlet for them, and showing them a love and care and hugs, that all develops into that mentorship. It develops into
trust.
Somebody cares about me, right? You know, somebody wants to hear about my day. Somebody wants to play catch with me. I have a safe place to allow this out, right? I can take off my armor that I wear to school and I can set it down and I can have a safe place just to let it out, have fun, enjoy, and be cared for, you know. And that's, it's really the heart about what we do is, you know, as a dad, we just want to love on our kids, right? We want to love on them. We want to care for them and we want to listen to them. And, that's what we do. We're, like I said, we're a big, big family.
Yeah.
And it takes a while, right? Our kids that are in this environment, with addictions of many things on all the sides, they know what to say. They know how to protect themselves. They know what not to say. So it takes a while, right? It takes a while to be able to break through to them and say, hey, you can trust us, you know, and be able to work through those things. It's mentorship is where it's at. And like I said, in our mission statement, it's Christ-centered mentorship.
Yeah.
And just guiding them and walking them through. And lastly, I'll say, you don't age out of our program. You don't age out of a family. You know, we're here with you. Our oldest is 22, you know what I mean? And we love him and care for him this day, so.
Yeah. Yeah, man, and that's, so you mentioned something about a drug awareness program or drug prevention program, and I believe you're talking about elementary school age. One, I think it makes plenty of sense that we partner with, our ministries partner together. They're right down, literally right down the road within 30 minutes. It's where you live now. I live in the same county as well.
Yeah.
And I think our men who've come through the program, I think would be incredible mentors or speakers or, you know, as you've rolled that program out. But man, I kind of wanted to ask, and this is, we speak a lot to, we're going at it from different angles, right?
Yeah.
The devastation that an addiction in the family causes to the youth, to the children of that. Man, we're not so much involved in, unless it's someone who's come up with an addiction, now we're helping them get away from it. We're more aimed at the dad, at the mom, trying to show hope and provide resources for them to find freedom. Mm-hmm. But man, I'm sure we've both seen some pretty awful things. Can you speak on a little bit about what you've seen, how it affects? Because I think not everybody knows that aspect of it, you know, and 'cause a lot of times people have families who could take the kid in, people have resources where they can get help, and a lot of people don't know, outside of death, don't know, like, just the darkness that can happen with a kid that doesn't, that the family's not there for resources. Can you speak on that a little bit? And we kind of did with the, where they're even just playing, but... Man, talk a little bit about what you've seen, just the devastation of addiction doing to communities.
Yeah, for sure. So for those of you that don't know, we serve the homeless children and youth that live in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, we're talking about kids that are in and out of the local motels in town, homeless shelters, doubled and tripled up on somebody's couch.
And how many is that in Rutherford County?
Right. The last number that I heard is about 1,200 homeless children right now
in
Rutherford County.
1,200 homeless children.
1,200 homeless children.
Hmm. Wow.
So with that, we work in the darkest corners of the community, right?
Yeah.
Like these are the dark corners. These motels are the dark corners. So getting along to your point, it's the... it's in and out of their motel room. It's their neighbors in their motel room. It's the parking lots, as we talked about before. Drugs and all that is it's all right there. So with that said, is we know that all of our kids are exposed to it. And we're talking kids, right? Like not 12, 13, 14, which are. But I'm talking 8, 9-year-old kids are exposed to this. We're talking young children. in and out of these different places. So in January, the Rutherford Opioid Board, that's doing some different stuff as far as Rutherford County goes, and it's going out. Yeah. It kind of really opened up our eyes to realize we need to do something about this as well, right? Like, we have access to these kids, and it's next door to these kids. So in January, we launched our drug prevention program that 3 days a week, we drop in little tidbits, you know, about what it looks like. And we use Generation RX. It's a peer-reviewed, all those good scientific surveys stuff. Sure. And it's basic stuff, though. Like, we'll do, like, a little skit as far as, like, cough medicine goes. Should I take it? Should I not take it? Yeah. Mom's not here. Just take what you need. Learning how to read a pill bottle.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if your name's not on it, you shouldn't take it.
Yeah.
And so it's very basic, right?
It's educational. It's
It's just laying that groundwork. So then when we launch our middle school program, that they have that framework of what that is and can hear more from, like, your guys's, their testimonies, their things, to be able to put into place of what that looks like.
Yeah, man. It's sadly, it's becoming younger and younger. I don't think I told you this, but I went to my daughter's dance Friday. She's 6. And it was in the school. It was in the gym of an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And the smell of weed was so prominent.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around like, this is elementary school. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing here? And I was like, man, maybe I just caught it. But it was... It smelled like someone was smoking weed. Like, mm-hmm. not just they had smoked in the parking lot and came in, but you know the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it angered me. I was frustrated. Mm-hmm. Younger and younger. And so what you've seen typically when it comes to homelessness, not always, but typically if drugs are involved when it comes to homeless.
There's a reason why we can't get through this.
Rock bottom.
Yes.
Not having the resources, not having the desire. Mm-hmm.
Through all the resources. I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
No,
go ahead. I can't.
But we have, there's many that we serve that has blown through every resource in town.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why they're blowing through every resource in town.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's why we focus on, if we can serve these children, if we can help lead these children out of this, if we can help break that cycle of generational poverty and show them there is a different way. I'll tell you, this morning, I had to take a little to school. She's in preschool.
Gosh.
This, that, and the other. So I went and picked her up, took her to preschool. And there was a 19-year-old still sleeping in bed who's been in our program for a while, all right, through almost eight years. I went in, and I snatched him by his ear, and I said, I love you. Mom needs help. What are you doing? Mm. And we got him up out of bed. Why haven't you worked this past week? And a part of that mentorship and love, sometimes it's hard love, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just sit here and sleep. Mom's struggling to even get anybody to school, get anybody with this stuff. And this isn't a drug family.
Yeah.
It's not an issue. But that motivation to get up and go and get a job. Oh, we don't have a car right now. Well, you walk, right? Like, he's got to call me by 5 o'clock tonight and tell me he's got a job somewhere that's in walking distance.
Mm.
Anyways, that was my little morning rant. But I guess it was just talking what you're saying about resources in town and this, that, and the other. And being able to show true mentorship and love is like, we got to continue to break that cycle. It's not like he's already graduated high school and not doing anything. That's unacceptable, right?
Yeah.
We got to continue to walk. We got to continue to press. And he just continues to need that kick in the butt. And he got it. He didn't expect to see my face in his bedroom this morning, let me tell you, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, he woke up looking at me with my hat like, get up, son.
Yeah, man. And I just kind of back to what I was saying just with the resources. But, I mean, at the level that you're meeting these children and their families, men and women, we know what it's like. And when I was going through addiction, when I was in the throes of addiction, I cared about nothing but me.
Yes.
And by God's grace, I did not have children until after he had set me free and I was walking in the light and walking in freedom. Mm-hmm. But, man, I can imagine, and we've seen it. You know, we see it from the other end. We see the light come on in a man's eyes. We just we just work with men. We have resources and things for women, and we have a list of like places. But when the light starts to come on in a man's eyes, some of the deepest pain and regret and shame and just, that they deal with is, man, they weren't there for their kids or their wife or their spouse, and they chose the idol over their own child. And so, man, I can relate. I think we'll have a link in the description. I don't want to say it now because you won't write it down or remember it, but we'll have a link to his website. Is there a place that they could donate on your website?
Absolutely, yep.
And so I know that he is completely, there might be some kind of funding here and there, but it is donations there. Endure Athletics is a 501c3 nonprofit. They have aspirations to have their own facility, to actually have these after school care programs indoors and at their facility where they could have sports and these groups and safe places. Yep. They have a place now, but it's not their own. They also provide meals, like you said. So if you donate to Endure Athletics, you are sowing into good soil that's doing the work that many aren't, if any. I haven't heard of a ministry like yours, man.
We're definitely different and unique, that's for sure.
I've heard of plenty of ministries for youth and for that kind of thing, but where you are, like you said, in the darkest corners of the county, the most vulnerable of kids, the most vulnerable of people, God's put in your heart to be a beacon of light and hope. And man, I think you should support that. If you have to choose one or the other, whether it be a member and join our channel or go support them. God will provide for us. But man, I thank you for that. And I know what it's like to be a nonprofit, man. We were kind of talking a little before. When God calls you to do something and you're doing it and you're moving forward and you're trusting him to provide because, you know,
I'd just say we've never gone without.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Right up to the cliff. He's provided every time, every single time.
Yeah. And I mean, what you're doing has a special place in Jesus's heart. I mean, he constantly talked about in his word, the little ones, man, allow them to come. If you harm them, he's very, very, he loved children and spoke about protecting children and including children and watching out for children. And so, man, you are doing a ministry that is close to our Savior's heart. And it's hard, man. I'm sure there's stories that you can't tell, or we'd have to edit out, that you've seen that you shouldn't have to see. I mean, I know we have stories, and hear stories from the men that come into our program that you would have been ministering to because awful things. They turn to drugs to numb the memories, man, of what their families did to them.
Yeah, that's when we talk about the generational aspect. That's it. It's that ball, right, that just continues to go by and trying to break it out, and it goes, right? It's mom, dad, grandma, like it goes all the way back, aunts, uncles, absolutely. All the same stuff.
Yeah.
So we gotta break it. Gotta get them young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what are some initial challenges you faced?
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Starting the program, and how did you overcome them, as well as like maybe some current challenges you're facing?
I don't know if we have enough time for all the
how much time you have, sir.
That we have, and I try not to cry, but I do wear my emotions on my sleeve. So, So again, I think initially, I mean, I truly didn't know what a nonprofit was, right? Yeah. I mean, I really had no plan. The only thing that I knew initially is that the kids deserve to have it full time. So I did quit my job, and we, you know, did some different things financially to make things work. I felt like that was important. But I will definitely say that's a major hurdle to overcome when you have a wife and kids of your own and trying to balance all those different things. But the challenges, so the early challenges were that, and the early challenges is, and I'm very thankful to a mentor of mine that corrected me on this, but I put endure one, right? I put endure kids number one over my wife, over my own kids, over everything, because I'm like, we're okay. These kids aren't, right? So I moved them way up to number one, and as we all know, shaking our heads, that's not right.
It's not good.
It's not right. Good Lord, number one, obviously. You know, wife, kids, endure. And that took me a long time.
Your first ministry is your home.
It's, yeah.
And it took me a while to learn that too, man. I mean, God, for me, I was set free from an addiction, felt the calling of the Lord, was on fire, and absolutely S2L was number one. And you justify it because you think you're doing the Lord's work. You think you're doing good.
And then you turn around and look. And you're
similar
your own family.
What you said. I was
not good.
I was shown that, you know, that's S2L will do better if you do it correctly. Yeah. God, family, ministry.
Well, I was told Endure's not going to make it if you don't fix this real quick.
Yeah.
And my mentor was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
So I think that initially, right, because of the passion and the love and the care, and you look at different things. And I'd say now is just, for me, it looks different because now I have staff and I have different people plugged into the day-to-day operations. And now I have these young adults, like the young adult that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
He's my responsibility, and I have a handful of them now that I have to help guide them in their next phase, right? Like they completed school well. Some of them are in college. We have another girl right now that's in college, right? She got kicked out of her house at 17. She's 18 now. She's in her second semester at MTSU, guiding and loving on them and being godparents or parents to that next phase of the kids that we have. And trying to figure that out and carving out the right time on my schedule with my stuff to that they don't get lost, right? Like they don't get shuffled off to the side, and keeping them involved is definitely a challenge. And just because it's new, right? Like there's no curriculum for that right now. There's, you know, whatever they need, right? And whatever they need is like, yeah, let's go out, let's get some coffee, let's get this. Why aren't you, you know, it's just different, just a different phase. And then thinking, my goodness, in another 3 years, there's going to be 20 of them. I'm not going to be able to keep 20 of them mentoring, you know what I mean, and making sure I'm raising up the next leader to be able to help out with that next phase that goes. So it's a growing development as we continue to go. And I guess lastly, I always say with Endure, the one thing myself and staff know, it will change tomorrow. So we really pride ourselves on, like, we just don't do this or that because we want to do it. It's what the kids need. It's what the kids need. It's what the kids need. So we're always evolving and making sure that we're doing the best for them. And what does that look like for us? So,
yeah,
just keep hammering it out, try to figure it out every day. And that's another word for me and staff is today we're just going to figure it out, man.
Let's go. Press on, 1 foot in front of the other. In just a moment, man, I'm going to give you final thoughts to give, looking into the camera, final charge to what you want people to know about you or Endure or whatever. But, man, there seems to be this theme lately for us, I believe maybe for S2L, that there is, like, this weekend we're speaking at a youth group. We're actually going to do the podcast speaking to a youth group about different things, but about dating and stuff, as he's getting married and he did it the right way. And there seems to be a theme. We talked about it in staff meeting a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, about maybe getting into the schools and talking about addiction and drugs and that kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah. So I could see us partnering with you, but there's definitely a calling I think that we have to take some of our knowledge, some of our experiences, negative experiences, and the truth, man. And the truth is that the secular world gets it wrong a lot of times. And I think you've probably seen even in nonprofit ministry, the secular world might have an idea of wanting to help these kids. But unless you, like the mission statement that you said, Christ-centered, mm-hmm. same thing with addiction. These men and women who are going through addiction are being told that they're always going to be an alcoholic or an addict, and they can be in remission at best, mm-hmm. That they are damaged goods. And in fact, when you come to our meeting to speak, that only we're allowed to come into, you identify yourself, hey, Adam, I'm an addict, or hey, Ryan, I'm an alcoholic, and now I can talk. And how damaging that is, and how antithetical to God's word that is. And so there's something that God's doing, I think, with the youth that we're going to be a part of at some time. And I'd love to partner with you, man, to see, get your input on that, maybe even to get us in some doors somewhere to some schools or something like that.
Yeah, so kind of talking about that, the one thing that I haven't brought up, and we're talking about the youth, and that's what I just pulled up, is we've teamed up with the Prevention Coalition for Success.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we are doing a teen wellness in March. And we're doing it at Patterson Park. We're having different speakers come in and like different little clinics throughout, like the mental health, physical health, the Experience Community Church. They're going to be there with a table and different things. Give them some guidance and see if something connects with them. But yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Final thoughts from you, and then we'll give Joel final thoughts.
Praise God for the work you're doing, man. Yeah, I sense your passion for it. It's such an honorable thing to do. Like Adam said, it's such a unique ministry.
Yeah.
I personally haven't heard of a ministry out there that's working with adolescent youth, you know, that are homeless. And so that's such a beautiful thing. That story you even mentioned, because one of my questions was going to be, do you have like an amazing success story?
Yeah.
And then you said the first ever Endure Athletics
graduated college,
and you were there like that. If that's not a sign from God, an assurance from God to keep on keeping on, and that you're doing the right thing and that you're making a difference. But praise God for your family to come alongside you and your wife to come alongside you and be in agreement with the calling you felt was over your life. Man, we'll be praying for your ministry. What is a way, how can our listeners and potential supporters get involved with Endure Athletics? How can they find you? Is there mentorship opportunities? Is there, volunteer things that they could do? How does that look?
So if you live in the Middle Tennessee area, the link's in the description, but how can they volunteer? How can people help outside of giving?
So Friday nights is a very unique program for us. So on our Friday night program, one, we wanted to do Friday night because all kids want to do something on a Friday night, mm-hmm. right? Regardless, like that time frame is like that critical after school, very important time. So we do different activities on a Friday night. It's more of it's no real curriculum. It's just more fun and enjoyment. And we have a big meal together and enjoy each other. Mm. And we have small, it's a good time for small groups to volunteer with us, that 5 to 7. They can come, they can help with the activities, they can help with the meals. And they can just kind of learn more about what it looks like on a daily basis, what we do with the kids, and then they can get plugged in with different ways with that. But it's a good way to start, because it's just low-key, relaxed, playing basketball, getting to know some of the kids, getting to hear some of the stories, being able to serve the kids their meals for that night and different things.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Do you have a big
age group from that is pre-K to 22.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Do you have a big event coming up on a Friday or in the next month or so, a big event where you're feeding people or anything like that?
No. So every Friday is our normal situation.
Okay.
So we don't do anything. I guess our big events that we do throughout the year, if you will, is Easter's big for us. We do Easter meals, and we deliver those to all of our families. Again, when you're living in a motel room, you don't have an oven. You don't have those different things. So we provide dinner or a meal for all of our families, and then Easter baskets. We do not do bunnies, by the way. We do lambs. as one of my things. And then we do Christmas meals. So each Christmas or Christmas Eve, we deliver home-cooked meals to all of our families that they can have a meal together and enjoy Christmas and different
things. How many families are we talking?
So right now we serve about 65 kids, and that's probably be 20 to 27 families in that range.
Well, Estuel is going to partner with you this
Let's
Easter.
Do it, man.
We'll financially cover some of that dinner this Easter, man. Yeah, I think that would be a good start to our relationship.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here today, and I thank you guys for what you guys do here, because I see it every day with the need that we have. And I feel like it's getting better. I feel like I heard some numbers that are getting better, but if your boots on the ground out on the streets, I'm not seeing anything getting better. So
That's it's interesting that those numbers, they don't run them by the guys on the ground. Is that not, really?
I kind of felt the same way. I was like, where's this?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll try to keep the politics out of it.
Yeah, take the politics out of it. But yeah, man, we're like-minded. Appreciate you. Do you have any final thoughts?
Again, I just want to thank you guys, for what you guys do. And we're excited. Like I said, we're in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, Middle Tennessee. And it's just a blessing to be able to do the work that we're able to do each and every day. See these youngsters come and just that connection and that love, and to continue to pour God into them. And I guess lastly, I'll just say, I had, because you mentioned something earlier about the Christ Center mentorship.
Yes.
I had one of my mentors, and I'm like, hey, I got to do this. I got to do this. We got to get these skinny. He's like, hey, man, you can't do anything. Mm. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, that passion at first. Like, we got to go. He's like, if they don't hear the Lord, if they don't hear about Jesus, your work is, there is no work.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I just thought, man, and that was a moment of, you know, throughout these years to be able to hit me is like, man, that's so important. That's so important that they get the opportunity to hear the word, you know, and they need it, right? I mean, again, when you're in these dark corners and like, you know, like,
yeah,
gosh,
you're a light in the darkness.
It's so important. It is so important in their lives to not only to be fed and loved on and cared for, but know our Savior, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Joel Bigelow, founder of Endure Athletics, link in the description. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today, Joel, man. Good conversation. Yeah. Guys, go check him out. Doing amazing work that's just not being done by anyone else. And I say that, you know, broadly, but thank you for being here. That's it. That's Life After Addiction. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S2L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S2LRecovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts and their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.